To all of our first-time visitors, we welcome you. To all of our long-lost saints, where in the world have y'all been? No, I welcome all of you today to our streaming audience. We are streaming on Twitter, on Facebook, on Periscope. We're streaming everywhere today because we want everybody to know the good news. And the good news is that there is hope today because of Jesus Christ. I want to go to Acts chapter 1. And just for your notes, you can just record Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. But I want, just for the sake of time, I'm only going to pick up beginning at verse 3. If you have it, say amen. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things that are pertaining to the kingdom of God. To whom he's talking about his apostles, his chosen ones. This is on the other side of Calvary, and he is alive now. And so he showed himself alive after his passion. Now, your translation may not say that, but the King James says that. And that word amazes me because he called it passion. I called it a crime. I call it pain. I call it ugly. I call it murder. That's because when I look at it, that's what it looks like to me. But him, he's an altogether different story. He looked at it and he said, that's my passion. I love you so much that's why I did what I did. I want to take the next few moments and just simply talk from the subject, a priceless passion. Spirit of the living God, I honor you today, and we celebrate your mercy, your greatness, your kindness. Have your way in this room today. Find every woman, every man, every hearer, every broken heart. For every person that might think that hope no longer exists, make yourself known to them this day. When it is all said and done, we'll always give you the praise and the glory and honor. In the matchless name of Jesus, somebody holler, amen. On your way down, just touch somebody and tell them it was a priceless passion. It's a priceless passion. Yeah, you can open the back doors if you want to. It's a priceless passion. So today we are looking in the scripture at an event here in Acts chapter 1 that came and it went so fast. It was almost as fast as I read it to you. It came and it went so fast that most theologians are very uncomfortable at even talking about it. It was after the cross. It was after the beating. It was after the burial. It was after the grave. It was after the resurrection. And it is a season in the church where they as a whole, and even those that had walked the closest with Jesus, even those who were his disciples, his apostles, they were completely confused about what had happened. For their leader and their mentor, their guide, the man that they gave up everything to serve, he has been beaten and he has been abused and he has been stripped and he has been humiliated and he has been crucified like a thief. And all of those who were told that you should not take seriously following this man, people like Peter, James, and John, all of their family members who laughed at them and said, you should have never followed this man. I told you, you shouldn't have never done that. And so they are all laughing at them and they are mocking them because Jesus, their leader, was hung high and he was stretched wide. He was spat upon. He's their mentor. He's their coach. And he was their hope. But now he's been spat upon, he's been beaten, and ultimately he died with thieves and murderers and wretched men, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb at that. And it so shook the disciples that it left them completely and utterly confused. On the day that he died and on the day that he was crucified, everyone who had followed him unfollowed him. You know what it's like to have people unfollow you? They unfollowed him. They had followed him and believed and hoped, but now he's gone. And so at this particular moment, Jesus has no followers after the crucifixion. It's not that he didn't impact their lives, because he did impact their lives. But the problem is that Jesus, he claimed too much about himself. And so when he died and when they saw it, they saw it as an undermining of everything that he had told them. When he said to them, he said, I am the way and I am the truth. And I am the life. Well, if you're the way, and if you're the truth, and if you are the life, then you can't die. You can't just go out there and die on us. He said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Well, if you are the resurrection, and if you are the life, you cannot die. We have forsaken everything just to follow you. Don't do this to us. He said he was the Son of Man. He said he was the Son of God. He alluded to the fact that he was God's chosen, and he kind of tipped his hat toward the fact that he was the Messiah. And so when they crucified him and when they buried him, even though that he had impacted their lives, people's hopes were shattered. Even though he healed the sick, even though he raised the dead, all of their hopes vanished at the crucifixion. It was game over. Don't act like you would have been any different. It's amazing how fast we turn on people today. Ooh, I was hoping I'd get a bigger amen, but it don't matter. It's real. It's amazing. You can say you love people and worship with them and let one little thing happen, and now it's game over. Well, that's the way it was. They had followed and they had served, and now he has done something that they did not understand. And so there would be no going on. There would be no going forward. There would be no movement for them to get behind and keep driving. They were hopeful, but now their hope has been deferred. And because of that, their heart is sick. And not only that, but now they are struggling with fear. So they're discouraged. Their hope is deferred and they are afraid. And because of that, they are hiding and they are in isolation. These are the very people that walked with him. But now, because of fear of the Jews, they have locked themselves in a room and they do not want to come out. While they were in hiding, somebody told them about a woman that had went down to the tomb and discovered that Jesus was no longer there. However, they were so afraid when they heard the news that only 2 out of the 12 went down to the tomb to see if it was so. And while these guys, the other guys, were behind closed doors, and while they were in despair and while they were wrestling with fear, here comes Jesus. And he did not come to the door and knock. Okay, he really blew their mind. He didn't come to the door. He came through the door. And I don't know about anybody else here today, but that's good for me to know that when your circumstances have backed you into a corner, and when the things you are facing in life have pushed you back because of fear, it's good to know that when you can't get to him, that he will come to where you are. Jesus went through the door. Hit somebody and tell him he's bad. He went through the door just like a ghost. If they weren't already scared, now they were really scared. But he sat down and he broke bread and he ate fish with them. And he did that for a reason. He did it just to let them know, I am he that was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And he began to minister to them. And he breathed on them, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he laid hands on them, and he told them, go to Jerusalem and tarry there, and you will become endued with power from on high. When he rose from the dead, his entire agenda changed, because there are certain things that when you go through them, you will never be the same again in your life. His entire agenda changed. His focus began to change. He will no longer, from that moment on, he will no longer argue with scribes. He will no longer reach out to the magistrates. He will no longer be preaching to sinners. He will no longer be trying to prove himself to the world. He has come back from the dead, and he's come back for the purpose of preaching to the foundation of the church. He's come back to preach to those who had been faithful to walk with him and talk with him, because see, there are some truths that you don't just share with anybody and with everybody. For the Bible said that the secret of the Lord, it is with those that fear him, and it is to them that he will show his covenant. Some things are exclusively for people who have a covenant with God. Is there anybody in here that believes that today? There are some things that God will expose to his children that nobody else will see and nobody else will know. So that's why you shouldn't be upset if people don't get you. That's why you can't worry if they don't understand why you worship like you worship and where you worship and how you worship and for how long you worship. They can't get it because maybe they're not at the place that God wants to reveal it. So you don't have to beat them up for it. You just go on about your business saying, Lord, I thank you. You didn't have to show me, but you did. In a brief moment, he will come into your life and he will share insight. He'll share secrets. Some of you, you weren't even brought up in church. You knew nothing about church, but God reached into your family and pulled you out. And he said, I want to make a new creature in Christ Jesus with you. So there are just some things that God will come in and he'll show you and he'll make you understand what other people don't understand. As you move in God, as you move from servitude to friendship, and from friendship to covenant relationship, and from covenant relationship over into sonship, you can expect God to open up things to you in a greater dimension, because there are just certain things that he don't talk about with just anybody and everybody. There are certain things that you don't discuss outside of your family. Y'all ever heard the phrase, what goes on in this house stays in this house? There are certain privileges that belong to those who are sons and daughters of God. There are certain revelations that belong to the church. There are certain benefits that belong to those that have been blood washed, those who have been bought with a price. So we got to be careful not to try to give our truths to people who are not ready for them, because it will be just like casting your pearl before swine. It will be taking that which is holy and giving it to the dog. So we've got to resist the urge to try to make people see what we see or to know what we know. We plant the seed and then somebody else waters the seed. But when it is all said and done, it is God that gives the increase. And sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut and let your light shine. I said, sometimes, have you ever been in a situation where God said, don't say a word, just let your light shine. Let your light shine. Why? Because in quietness and in confidence shall your strength be. Sometimes when you get a word from God, you can't tell anybody what the Lord has put in your heart. Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. He said, I just held my peace. I just kept my mouth shut. Look at your neighbor, tell him, you ought to be quiet sometimes. You ought to be quiet sometimes, because the greater part of our strength is not in our shouting, but the greater part of our strength is in our silence. See, when Israel got ready to take Jericho, it really was not the shout that brought down the wall. It was the silence that brought down the wall. It was the silent march of 7 days that gave credence to that one moment of shouting, because they had marched and obeyed God silently for 7 days. When they did open their mouth, something began to move. You know, there are certain people that you're like, when they talk, I want to listen. I want to lean in. Why? Because there's something on them and they're saying something that you are meant to hear. So many times people that talk a lot are not really listened to very closely. Many times we are trying to shout before we have ever been silent. Many times we are trying to break through things that we have not yet marched around. Sometimes you got to march around something that says, I will not move. And you got to march around it quietly. And then when the time is right, you open up your mouth and you shout. Hit somebody, tell him, shut up and march. Shut up and march. Ain't no need in shouting until you've got your marching done. Why? Because faith without works is dead. But after you have paid your dues, and after you have put your time in, and after you have suffered a while, then shall you be established. See, you're not going to get out until you can walk around something that doesn't move. And like Job, you say, though he slay me, I still am going to march around it. Though he slay me, I will still trust him. I may not know how and I may not know when, but I'm going to keep marching around an impossibility until that impossibility becomes something that is possible, because I believe God. And when you make a commitment like that, he will come to you. He will counsel you. He will comfort you. Even if he has to walk through a door, he will find you. And that is precisely what he is doing in our text. He came to them. He stepped into the earth realm. He made a brief appearance somewhere between Passover and Pentecost. He stopped and he spoke a word to the faithful. He stopped and he spoke a word to those that had been committed. If you're faithful and you've been committed, that ought to bless you right there. Every now and then, God will come and say something to those who are faithful. He came and he stopped by for a moment to talk to those who had been faithful. And he said this, he said, this word is not, it's not for everybody. It's not for the masses and it's not for the multitudes. He said, there will be no more turning water into wine. I've been there, done that. I've done all of that. I'm not healing the sick now and I'm not raising the dead. You should have got me when you could have got me. Right now, he said, I didn't go through all of that to come back and just do that. He said, I've just stepped back in to let those of you that stood with me, and those of you that walked with me, and those of you who were my ride or die. He said, I came back to tell you that whatever you got to go through, I want you to know it's worth it. Whatever you got to face, it is worth it. Even when they ostracize you, it is still worth it. When they criticize you, it is still worth it. When they crucify you, he came back to say, it is still worth it. He said, I've stopped by just to tell you that nothing that I've been through has changed who I am. I am who I said that I am. Oh, there's all kinds of things that they're going to say about me now. And now that I'm dead, they're going to tell you that now that I died, they're going to tell you that I'm still dead. And they're going to tell you, oh, he's not who he said he was. He's not able to do what he he said he was going to do. But I'm not interested in proving myself to them anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. What I want to do is come into this room and tell you that I am alive. I am God, and beside me there is no other. I am Yahweh. I am Jesus. I am the Master Rabbi. I am who I told you I would be. I'm your day star. I'm your day spring. I'm your bright light in a dark place. I am the captain of the Lord's host. I am the Ancient of Days. I am he who was, who is, and who is to come. I am the Lamb that satisfied God. For up until now, God had only been pacified by bullocks and goats. But when I offered up my blood, the sin issue was settled forever. Let me tell you, church, we are listening to the Lamb himself speak. We are listening and we are hearing from the man who died on the cross saying, Tetelestai, it is finished. He said, I am on my way to sit down at the right hand of the majesty upon high. But I had to stop by and tell my inner circle. I had to stop by and tell my core. I had to stop by and tell a few people who have been faithful to lay down everything and following me. I had to stop by and tell you I am who I said I am. I've been through hell, but I am who I said I am. Woo! It's all behind me now. See, when Calvary was still in his future, he said, I told you when it was still in my future, I told you that unless a grain of wheat would fall to the ground and die, that it would abide alone. But if it died, it would bring forth much fruit. He said, I told you that if they destroyed the temple, it would be only take for 3 days, and they would raise it up again. He said, I told you. He said, I told Peter, I have to suffer. But on the third day, I'm going to suffer. But on the third day, I am going to get up again. Peter said, absolutely nothing doing. I'm not going to have that. Oh, far be it that the Son of Man would have to suffer such agony. He said, but I told Peter, I rebuke you, get behind me. See, Peter was his friend, but you got to know when your friend is being used by the devil. I said, you got to know when your friend is being used. He said, Peter, I love you, boy, but I rebuke you. Get behind me, Satan. You do not even know what spirit you are of. So as he was, all of that was as he was anticipating the cross. He sweat until his sweat became great drops of blood. Anticipating the cross, he said, Father, if it be your will, please let this cup pass from me. But since there was no way around it, he submitted himself to the cross, saying, and on the cross, can you believe it? While he is on the cross, this is real ministry, because while he was hanging on the cross, he was still doing ministry. He said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I thirst. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you, out of all the people, why have you been the one that forsook me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, Father, into thy hands do I commit my spirit. At some point, you got to just turn it over to God, whether you understand it or not, whether you feel betrayed or not, even when you feel like God has forsaken you. You got to say, Father, into your hands do I commit my spirit. Why? For it is finished. And he died. Look at somebody telling me he died. But I'm going to tell you something. It would not be Easter if I didn't tell you that he died until the ground began to tremble. And he died until the sun refused to shine. And he died until the veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And he died until law stepped over into grace. And he died until every curse was nailed to a tree. He died until every curse turned into a blessing. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Gerasites, I mean every curse, every family curse, every generational curse, it was nailed to the cross. And hanging there, we beheld the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. But wait, hold up for 1 second. This text today, it wasn't about us looking backward. That's over, it's done. It's behind him. Every foe is defeated. Every enemy has been conquered. Christ has risen from the dead, proving himself to be Lord. Indeed, and now, having risen from the dead, he allows them to touch his wounds. He allows them to feel his nail prints. He allows them to look at the piercing that is in his side. And he did it all just to let them know, I did go through some things, but I'm still here. That was then. Yeah, that nail, that was then, but I'm still here, and I am he that was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. See, you got to know the difference between I was and I am. For I was dead. But behold, I am alive. I was dead, but right now I am alive. And when you find yourself suffering, this is what he was telling us. He was telling us, I want you to remember when you find yourself hurting and in pain and suffering and in the fiercest fight of your life. He said, I want you to remember this, that trouble does not last always. I want you to remember that this too shall pass. I want you to remember that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I want you to remember that if you can take it in 3 days, I will get you up again. But see, our problem is we bought a tomb, okay? We bought a tomb, but not him. He borrowed because he was a real businessman. He said, I ain't buying no tomb. Let me borrow that. Yeah, because I might be in it, but I'm not going to stay in it, okay? Look at somebody and tell them, don't buy it. Don't buy it because you ain't going to stay in it. I might get depressed, but I'm not going to stay depressed. I might get discouraged, but I ain't staying discouraged. I might get sick, but I ain't staying sick. I might go through hard times, but I'm not going to live there. I refuse. Tell somebody, don't buy into that. Don't buy into that. He borrowed a grave and then he climbed over into it and he accomplished the purpose of God. And then he rose up from the dead. And then he said, took the grave and he said, here, Joseph, you can have the grave back. Put your kinfolk in it because I don't need it any longer. And the part about all of that, that is amazing, even though it's all amazing, the part about it that is so amazing to me is that how he looks back on it and he defines the entire experience. And he says, Bible says, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. Why? Why would you call the crucifixion of a good man passion? He was tortured. He was beaten. He was marred beyond recognition. He was scourged. To scourge someone means to inflict misery or death with a whip. That's what they did. To scourge someone means, it really means more than a whipping, because it was a whip that was done with a cat of nine tails on the end of it. See, I'm just seeing if y'all know and you can help me preach. Yeah, I'm just seeing if you're with me. That's awesome. So every time that they would take the whip and they would hit him with the whip, it would open up his wound. So it was a cat of nine tails. So that means that he got 39 stripes, but actually it was somewhere near 350. It was that's how many wounds that he actually got. And this all happened before he ever went to the cross. Oh God, can we just talk about that for a minute? Why would he go through all of that before he ever went to the cross and still call it his passion? He called it his passion because he knew the last man Adam, and he knew that when the last man Adam had failed, he was going to have to step in and reverse the failure of the last man Adam. See, when Adam saw his bride Eve fall into sin, he loved her so much, he knew what she was doing, but he decided, I'm just going to do it with you because I love you so much. So when she fell into sin, he fell into sin with her. But now the last man, Adam, when he saw his bride, when he saw his church fall into sin, he said, I love you so much that I ain't going to do it with you, but I'm going to die for you. You see, it was love. Tell somebody, love made him do it. Love made him do it. So listen today. If you've ever wondered what real love looks like, you need not look any further than Calvary. He said, nobody took my life. It was my intense desire for you. It was my passion. It was my agonizing affection. I love you so much that I said, go ahead. Drive the nails in my hand. Pierce my side. Do whatever it takes. But I've got to save them. Who else but Jesus? We'd be talking about saving somebody else's life while they were taking his. And yet he just kept on preaching. The preacher was preaching while he was dying. Preacher was, see, I don't know if people are really called into the ministry today or not, because we get offended and we just give up. No, he was dying, but he kept on preaching. Look at somebody. Tell him, you got to keep on going. You got to keep hurting and everything. You got to keep on going. Flesh starts fighting you, but you got to keep on going. You're dying, but you got to keep on going. You can't quit just because you have been called to carry a cross. You got to take your cross and still do what you do. You can't quit. And for all of you that are always asking yourself, okay, how do I feel? How do I feel about this? I don't even ask myself how I feel. I can't give myself all of those options. I can't allow myself and my flesh to talk me out of the purpose of God for my life, because it will talk you out of it if you will let it. But Jesus just kept on dying. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he kept on dying, and he kept speaking life while he was dying. I don't know who that's for, but sometimes you got to be dying and still speak life. You got to still be talking about up while you're going down. You got to keep giving life even when you feel like you're giving up on your own. That's real ministry. And he preached with power and clarity in the darkest moment of his life. And he called it passion. Passion is translated as suffering. You know why? Because real passion is painful. Whew. He loved us, y'all, till it hurt. I don't know if y'all ever loved anybody that maybe didn't love you back, but it hurts. Have you ever loved anybody who didn't love you back and you said, that's it, that's it. I don't care if they ever call. I don't care if they ever look in my direction. It's okay, I'm over it. And you ain't a bit more over it than a man in a moon. Because real love hurts. It hurt him to care for us. It hurt him to need us. It hurt him to want us. Calvary is raw love on display. It is him loving and longing passionately for you and for me. Some of us are only here today because of passion. We didn't know that's what it was called. Okay. But whenever you can go through hell and still say, I'm going to make it. That's passion. Whenever you can be backed into a corner and pushed up against, or whenever they can nail you to a tree, bury you and put you in a grave, and you get up and you say, oh, the devil is a liar. That is the kind of passion I'm talking about. Whenever you have every reason to die, but you are determined to live, that is called passion. Everybody don't have it, and everybody can't explain it, but I promise you, if it ever gets down inside of you, it doesn't matter what life throws at you, you will say, come on, baby, bring it on, because when it is all said and done, for God I will live, and for God I will die. Look at somebody and tell them, how bad do you want it? How bad do you only want it if it's easy? Do you only want it if you don't have to press? Do you only want it if you don't have to stretch or reach or cry? Do you want it bad enough, whatever it is that you want? Do you want it bad enough to be nailed to a cross? Do you want it bad enough to deny yourself and become obedient unto death? The truth is that whatever you want from God, you gotta want it until it hurts. And after the enemy has hit you with his best shot, you gotta stand there and say, I still want it. I still want it, and I'm still here. You tried to kill me, but I'm here. The devil tried to kill me. Y'all don't know. But the devil tried to kill me when I lost my sister last year. But I got up on Easter Sunday morning. I got up to tell him, I'm still here. You tried to steal my faith, but I'm still here. You tried to make me lose my mind, but I'm still here. You tried to make me hopeless, but I'm still here. You tried to make me suicidal, but I am still here. And I'm gonna ask until he answers me. I'm gonna seek until I find him. I'm gonna knock until the door is open, because I am full of passion. Hit your neighbor and say, neighbor, they didn't expect me to make it, but I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still alive. Woo! Done, but I gotta say one more thing. That verse said, after his passion, is passion. As good as passion is, the very fact that the Bible says, after his passion, tells me that I am going to come through whatever. Look at somebody, tell them there will be glory after this. They're after his passion. See, after lets me know that he came through it. After lets me know that whatever it is, you can survive it. After let me know that when it was all said and done, he got up with victory and he put the enemy under his feet. And I came to tell you today that if we are the body of Christ and the enemy is under his feet, then the enemy is under our feet too. Somebody ought to jump up and stomp and let the devil know I'm still here. I withstood it, but I'm here. I thought I wasn't going to make it, but I'm here. I am yet alive. Woo! I don't know who I'm talking to today, but they tried to pronounce you dead. They tried to tell you you would never come out of this, but God brought me here today to tell you after his passion, he showed himself alive. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, look at me. I am alive. The devil thought I'd be dead, but I'm alive. Folk tried to kill me, but I'm alive. I looked pitiful, but thanks be unto God. Your head back, lift your countenance, and show yourself. I'm alive. Your friend didn't expect you to come out of it. Your family didn't expect you to come out of it. The devil didn't expect you to come out of it. But Jesus came back. Look at somebody, tell him I'm back. I'm back. But I'm back. I might be hurting, but I'm back. I might be so weary, but I'm back. I'm back. I might be limping like Jacob, but at least I'm walking. I don't have the friends I used to have, but I'm back. I may not have the house or the car that I used to have. A spouse that I used to have, but look at you, you are back. Look at somebody, tell them I made it through the storm. I made it. I made it through the sickness. I made it through the crisis. I made it through the bankruptcy. I made it through the betrayal. I made it through all the seasons of uncertainty. And I'm back. Don't move because I'm done, but I want to tell somebody that is in this room who might feel like you have been buried. Buried. Buried under pressure. Buried under hurt. Buried under disappointment. Buried under shame. Buried under lie after lie after lie. Buried under sin. Buried underneath sickness. Need to tell you today, you may feel like that. But guess what? If you can hear me, you might be buried, but it ain't over. I said it ain't over. Because God wants to pull you out of it. Look at somebody and pull on them and tell them I'm pulling you out. Why does God want to pull you out? Because he's not finished with you yet. I said, it's not finished. I don't know who I'm talking to that might be buried under hopelessness today. But he sent me here to tell you, I've kept my hand on you. And I'm going to use you if you will allow me to. I want to pull you out, so don't die yet. Don't die till your passion is fulfilled. Don't die until you have accomplished what God has put in your heart. Don't die even if you have to walk alone. Don't die. You might not have anybody to talk to, but don't die. Because even though you don't have somebody right there in your house, maybe, he's right there with you. Woo. You may not have a roommate, you may not have a spouse, but he sent me here to tell you, hey, I'm with you, I'm in there with you, so don't die. Breathe in, breathe out, encourage yourself, look in the mirror and tell yourself, you are the head and you are not the tail, you are above only, you are not beneath. You may not have any help, but help yourself. And remember this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present moment are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed in us. You can tell the weight of glory that's coming your way based on the weight of pressure that is on your life. Somebody in this room says, Lord, have mercy. I'm getting ready to get the mother load of glory because I've had the mother load of pressure. I'm going to tell you something. You don't go through what you go through by accident or by chance. It was his passion. Stand with me, will you, all over the building. Don't move. Don't walk. Passion is so important. Y'all hear me out in the overflow. It's your passion that's so important. So if I were the devil, I would know I can't kill you. So since I can't kill you, I'll just let you keep coming to church. But I'll kill your passion. And when you wake up and don't know what day is Monday and what day is Tuesday, I don't know what day this is. I'm just doing what I've always done. Just going through life. It could be that an enemy has stole your passion. And your passion is what makes you get out of the bed in the morning. And your passion is what makes you say, I gotta live, I gotta live. It don't matter what comes my way, I'm gonna live. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. I'm going to help somebody today. I'm going to set somebody free today. I'm going to smile at somebody that's suicidal today. And they're going to drop all of whatever they got going on in their life. And they're going to come running to Jesus. It's that passion. Don't allow the enemy to kill your passion. Don't allow him to push you to a point where you're not expecting anything. I don't even expect God to do anything. That means the enemy is after your passion. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm going to tell you something. God brought you right here, or he had you tune in right here so that I can tell you, you better get back to expecting. You better get back to hoping. You better get back to believing, because God is a very real God, and Jesus has gotten up from the dead. The tomb tells it all. And if that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in if the same spirit that raised him from the dead, only if that spirit, with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus today, you might be wondering, why can't I get up? I've been through some things that has knocked the lights out of me. My passion is gone. I'll tell you why you can't get up, because you need him.